And when he drew near, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Lord has just crossed over a threshold formed by a bed of cloaks and palms, crossing a threshold into his passion. He can perhaps still hear the jubilant acclamation of the crowds around him. They do not yet suspect the drama of the days to come. The scene unfolding before us in today's Holy Gospel is the beginning of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. Our Savior has been acclaimed as the Son of David, but as he approaches the very city of David, it is not joy, but sorrow that overtakes his sacred heart. His sorrow wells up not merely for the impending disaster of the earthly city of Jerusalem, for soon that holy city will be put to a Roman sword in the year 70. No, our Savior's sorrow is addressed to the true citadel and fortress in which he longs to rule. He is grieved at every human heart that denies him entry, our hearts, the city of our soul. These words are not merely for Jerusalem, but for each of us this morning. If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day, the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. Many months before, our blessed Savior had given the charter of the new law on a new mount, like a new Moses. But the man many had thought would restore the earthly fortunes of Israel started uttering apparent contradictions. They had heard of the wealth of King Solomon, but Jesus proclaimed, Blessed are the poor in spirit. They had admired the battle-hardened bravery of David, but here his heir said, Blessed are the meek. The age of the Messiah was to be one of joy and fulfillment. Instead, the Christ proclaimed to them, Blessed are they that mourn. They, and we often like them, sought to be saved by the strength of men. In our nation, in our work, in our home. And here the Messiah presents instead to them, to us, the apparent weakness of our God. Yet as St. Paul would proclaim, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than human strength. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. Could weeping be holy and even desirable? There is a blessed knowledge which our Savior possesses that draws forth tears from his holy face. He sees the true end for which man was created. He sees the true chains that ensnare the city and every heart that he longs to save and direct to that end. Profound sorrow welling from his sacred heart, for his is a salvation spurned, a love unrequited, a heart pierced and forsaken. Blessed then our Savior before us as he weeps for Jerusalem and for us. And blessed we, if weeping, we mourn when we should, when the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, moves our Christian hearts with the gift of knowledge. St. Augustine, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, tells us that the gift of the Holy Ghost of knowledge belongs to those who mourn in the holy way of our Lord in today's Gospel. Why knowledge? The Spirit of Christ teaches us about the true nature of created goods, the true nature of this world. It is a knowledge of their true worth, a true knowledge of how fleeting is time, how permanent eternity. My possessions, my position, my power, the people whom I cherish, the human love that I enjoy, these all can be good things, These all can be holy things, insofar as they are not ends, but means to an end. As long as my heart and my mind do not stop at them, but rises through them to their Creator. Yet when we use of this world as though it is our only hope, when our faith in the eternal promises of our God is eclipsed by our faith in men, when I am afraid to give all of my love to God because I fear that I will lose worldly love besides, then we have become chained to this world and blinded to the truth about God and ourselves. It is over us that Christ weeps. In the temple of our soul, we have set up money changers every time we allow the cares of this world to displace the adoration and love we owe to our God. If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day, the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. While we yet draw breath in this world, our Savior is at the gates of our city and longs to enter and make his abode with us. But what does he find in the temple of our soul? He finds a market where we would sell the promises of eternity in exchange for the health of our body, the wealth of our family, the affection of a friend, protection from danger, a glance of disordered love, vaunted productivity. We would sell eternal love for an illusion of earthly love. Finding the sacrifice too costly, we would surrender what is priceless. The eyes of God made man see these money changers in our soul for what they truly are. And so he thunders in righteous anger in today's Holy Gospel. It is written, "My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." The disordered cares of this world are chains that bind us, but they are also robbers. They rob us of the peace and freedom of the children of God. True peace is not a peace without trial, nor a peace without sacrifice, but it is a peace nevertheless without equal, that rests in the knowledge that it lives and loves for the service of God and loves all things in Him. These disordered cares are also thieves in a higher sense. This temple, our temple, is the house of God. Our time, our thoughts, our affections, they belong to Him. Sacrifices we should make to Him. But often we place them instead on the altar of our self-will, the altar of the expectations of our fellow men. We would often rather live a lie in the eyes of another than allow the gift of knowledge to purify our hearts and minds. Our task this morning, then, is to open the temple of our hearts to our Lord and our God. We must beseech His Holy Ghost for the gift of knowledge. May He reveal to us all the disordered affections in our hearts, the attachments, anxieties, fears, resentments that we have allowed to chain us to this world, that we have allowed to eclipse His holy love in our hearts. He weeps for us today, and we too should weep with the knowledge, that holy knowledge, that we have spent far too many moments loving creatures outside of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. For it is certainly not wrong to be diligent, to be prudent, to be caring, but all our words and our works must begin and end in the furnace of divine charity that is the Sacred Heart. If there is a work or an affection that we would be embarrassed to place before that heart, it is a robber and a thief to be cast out of our temple. Let Him, by His loving providence in our self-sacrifice, drive out the thieves from our heart. We were made for eternity. The world itself could never be enough to satisfy our hearts. May the gift of knowledge be granted in ever greater abundance to all of us this morning. May we see in its divine and pure light the true worth of earthly things. May we mourn with our Lord for our sins, and for our brothers still bound thereby, confident that our Savior will keep his promise to us. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.